I'm reading from Acts chapter 13, from verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they met a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. The man called for Barnabas and Saul, and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. It was at Hetton, maybe a few weeks ago, I preached upon this passage. And while I was preaching one message, I thought about this Roman, this proconsul. And I thought, I'd like to speak on him. And I suspect that when most people read that passage, they're more excited by the sorcerer and all his shenanigans and chicanery. But I want to talk about this Roman. And there have been monuments found to him on Cyprus. They've even found one in the city of Rome. And it would appear that the Emperor Claudius called him back from Cyprus at some point, and within 3 or 4 years of this, put him in charge of the River Tiber in Rome. I'm not sure whether that's a promotion or not, but it might be that that was his retirement and it was something of a sinecure, a nice little retirement pension pot. I don't know. When the Apostle Paul writes the letter to the Romans, Sergius Paulus is not mentioned. So I imagine he probably died within perhaps 10 or 15 years when Paul was penning that letter. Almost certainly he would have been a part of the Roman church, which might indeed argue perhaps he was later on in life. So what do we know about him from the text? He's a proconsul. He's a Roman administrator. Luke remarks that he is an intelligent man. Not everybody who governed, who ruled in the Roman Empire were naturally intelligent. Often those jobs were given because they were relations or friends of the emperor, or they'd paid a sufficiently large bribe. You would seem that Sergius Paulus was a good administrator. Luke, who was not short of brain cells himself, was able to recognise a good administrator, a good man. And yet, for all his intelligence, he kept some pretty rotten company. And we've got this character, Elymas, or Bar-Jesus. Jesus was a reasonably popular name among Jews in the first century. Joshua would be the equivalent today. But really, we have here a charlatan, a quack, a man who performs hocus pocus. And perhaps Sergius Paulus is naturally interested in spiritual things. Maybe he's not satisfied with the staid gods of ancient Rome, and he knows there is something more out there. And here is this Elymas, a Jew, presumably engages in a bit of Jewish mumbo jumbo, mixes it up with a bit of occult and superstition, and perhaps Sergius Paulus is inclined to go along with it. And yet we're told, despite the fact that this rather unpleasant character keeps his company, we're told in verse 7 he was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. That is arguably the most intelligent thing he did in his long and intelligent career. I imagine his management of the River Tiber was superb. I think his administration of Cyprus was well regarded by the emperor. But the smartest thing he ever did was hearing that his island has received two men who claim to preach the word of God, and he wants to hear it for himself. He might have simply asked Elymas what he thought of the message, but he wants to hear it himself. He might have sent a spy to the synagogue and sought a full and frank report, but he wanted to hear it for himself. And that is an intelligent thing to do, because quite often the people we meet in our daily lives, they reject the gospel, but they've never actually heard it. Loads of people we meet think the message of Christianity is do good and try your best and you might do enough to get to heaven. That is not the gospel. That is the opposite of the gospel. Or they think we gather to just read and find out how Jesus lived and then try and live our lives like he did. Of course, there is a kernel of truth in there, but the gospel is so much more than that. And Sergius Paulus is not the kind of man to hear it secondhand. He doesn't, I think, believe it in verse 7, but he wants to hear it for himself. He wants to make up his own mind. And if these two are bringing a strange new message, he wants to find out for himself. That is an intelligent thing to do. Elymas, however, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. I don't think he's become a believer in verse 8, but Elymas can tell he's on a journey and the direction of the journey is Jesus Christ. I'm not here suggesting for a moment that intelligence is the same as saving faith. Far from it. There are people who believe the gospel who cannot read and write. There are people with learning difficulties who are on the way to heaven. Likewise, there are very smart, intelligent people with lots of degrees, but from a spiritual point of view, they are utterly stupid for having rejected the truth. And yet, it was God who designed us with the brain. When one becomes a Christian, we adopt a whole new worldview, which is eminently reasonable and intelligent. We know why we are here. We know why this world does not function as it ought to. As we look at the news and behold the kind of social chaos which appears to be gripping the Western world, we know the answer to it. And if we know the beginning, we also know the end. There is going to be a day of judgment. There is going to be a day of reckoning. The just God of heaven will not allow sin to go unchallenged forever. It is a whole worldview which is coherent and reasonable and logical. And yet we know there is one working in Cyprus who would put Sergius Paulus off. Whether Satan is working through him, which seems reasonable, or whether he's just a deeply unpleasant man who feels that his own seat at the proconsul's right hand is going to be endangered if he believes in the truth and therefore he's working for his own interest, I'm not so sure. Clearly, Saul, who we're told here is also Paul, describes him as a son of the devil. He's not proposing for a moment that this is the end times Antichrist, but rather he is doing the devil's work, which might mean that there is something deeply spiritual going on here. This crook is actually Satan's tool to try and hinder and retard gospel witness. And so he is blinded. But I'm less interested in Elymas right now, and rather I'd like to look at Sergius Paulus. Verse 12, then the proconsul believed. We know that he's walking towards the faith, as it were, in verse 8. For most people, it doesn't happen overnight. They don't hear the gospel at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 1 minute past three, they're asking to be baptized. It usually takes a period of time. And I don't think there's a long period of time between verse 8 and verse 12, but I think it's fairly short. But the proconsul believed. Why does he believe? When he saw what had been done. Well, what has been done? This opponent of the gospel has literally been blinded and is wandering around, groping and grappling in the dark. That's a picture of his spiritual life as well. And he would have made Sergius Paulus blind while he was at it. So he saw what had been done, and yet we're also told he was astonished. Curiously, he wasn't astonished by the miracle. Now, if I saw a man order another man be blinded, I would be astonished. I'm not surprised that people can't see very well. I'm not surprised that people put lenses in front of their eyes. I'm not surprised to see people walking around town with a white stick. But to have that ordered by another, I think that's fairly astonishing. But that is not what astonished our friend here. Being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Yeah. It was the gospel which astonished him. So making a man become blind as a judgment upon him was less amazing to the proconsul than the message which Paul and co were bringing. What is that message? That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is more amazing than a miracle. That is more extraordinary than an occultic charlatan stumbling around in the dark. I suspect early on that Sergius Paulus has already harboured his doubts about the truth and the helpfulness of Roman state religion. You pray to the gods, but they never reply. You live an evil lifestyle, they don't seem to mind. He possibly knows Claudius. Claudius was a disabled man, and I don't hold that against him, but he did also claim to be a god. Well, there's something wrong with that. And he knows there's something else out there, but he can't quite see what it is. You know that the Jews believe in a God, but they have their synagogue, and he's not welcome in their synagogue. Then he has Elymas, who claims to be a Jew, but the other Jews don't seem to accept him. And there's certainly power in what he says, and yet there's something quite disturbing about it as well. And then these men come along, and they tell him the truth, and it is astonishing. And we're told, according to Luke, he believed. And that is what we would expect. He hears the truth, and he believes it. Luke says he was an intelligent man. He was also a wise man, because he heard about the living God. And instead of arguing, or like another Roman ruler who says to Paul a few years later, come back and I'll hear you again. He believes there and then. And I believe we're going to meet this great man in heaven. There is one theory that we hear of Saul's also being called Paul, that he took on Sergius Paulus' name as a result of this encounter. Some have suggested that Sergius actually adopted Saul. Well, in one respect, Saul adopted him, not as a father, but as a brother. He came as a visitor to Cyprus, subject to Sergius' authority, and yet when he left the island, they were brethren in the Lord. Mm-hmm. When you believe the gospel, you find yourself part of a very large, international, timeless, and cosmic family. Yeah. Amen.